Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Irvin Samach Dalet. We are on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Hahumu Voya, Davadayar Ba Lachman Bariskak. We learned earlier that when Yisrael live in a chatzar or in a mavi, they have two options. They can merge together by making an Erev. So in a chatzar, it's Erev Chatzeres, and a mavi would be the Shit of Mavois. Or alternatively, they could be Mavatel, their Shus. So a person who hadn't taken part in the Erev can relinquish, give up his usage rights, so to speak, of the that area, and effectively make the other fellow the sole owner of the area. Now, we're speaking within the context of Shabbos or Chatziris. Certainly, he doesn't become the actual owner, and it's completely his. It means that we deem it as though it's completely, as he's the host, and the other fellow is merely the guest. So in terms of requiring Erev Chatziris, it's not necessary any longer, because the other fellow who gave up his rights, so to speak, has turned himself into a guest for the sake of Shabbos of this other fellow, and a guest doesn't have to take part in the Erev or the Shittiv. But if there's a guy living there, then we learned, according to the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the halacha concludes, follows his Shita, and when there are two Yisraelim living together with a guy, which is something which is common, and they have the Chachamim concerned, they don't want Yisraelim to mingle with Goyim, be influenced by them. They didn't allow the Erev or Shittif method to be employed. Rather, you need to do Schiris. You need to actually rent the property, the Rishus of the Chatzar, from the Goy. This is something that is inconvenient. Perhaps the Goy wouldn't cooperate, and therefore it will lead to discouraging Yisraelim from living with Goyim. Says the Gemara, Ahu Mavoya, there was this certain alleyway that had chatziris accessing the mavoi. They have a dire bo lachman baristak. There was this fellow, this goy, lachman baristak, was living, occupied one of the chatziris which accessed the mavoi. Tesis brings a girsa, Rabbi Chanan Magor's Haman baristak. So this fellow Haman, he lived in the mavoi here with some other Yisraelim who lived in the adjacent chatziris. Now they wanted to be able to carry in the mavoi. So generally you need to do a shit of mavois. All the chatziris merge together. But when there's a guy occupying one of the chatziris, that's not to be done. Rather, they have to go ahead and do schiris. Amrulei aigar lan rishusach. So they approached him. Can you please rent us your usage rights, your property? Lo yaigar lahu. He refused. Just as the chacham predicted. You know, a guy views it with suspicion. He doesn't want to cooperate. So now they were stuck, they couldn't carry. Asu amrulei labaye. So they went over to Abaye to ask him for advice. Amr lahu, so he told him, look, I have an idea for you. Zilu bitilu rishu saichu l'gavichad. Why don't you all do bitul? Give up your rights. L'gavichad. Be mevatel to one of the members here. Make him the sole owner of the of the mavi here, and now you only have one person living with the guy. So although practically speaking, you have many people here, but there's only one owner, one balabais. Havel yochid b'makom nacher. So you have one Yisrael living with a guy, because everybody else are like my guests. And what's the halacha when there's only one Yisrael living with a guy? Yochid b'makom nacher liyaser. The guy doesn't make it aser. In accordance with Shitas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So I have a simple solution. All make bittul to one person. Let him become the sole owner. Now it's one Yisrael who's deemed to be the balabais of the holy area, together with the goy. One Yisrael with the goy is okay. Arm relays, they told him, look, what's the whole pshat that only two Yisrael are aser, not one Yisrael? Midihu taima. What is the whole reason? Elam de le shchech de dairi. As we discussed this earlier in Daf Samach Aleph, it's not common for one Yisrael to live with a guy. He fears for his life. Therefore, Chacham had no reason to be concerned that this will happen. Therefore, they didn't make it awesome. But in this case, v'hacha hakadairi. They're living, meaning this is something which is commonplace, to have many Israel living with a guy. So although you worked it out halachically, that they're not really the owners, they're just the guests, but practically speaking, they're all living together. And when you have many people living together, there's no fear from the guy. It's something which is commonplace. And that's not what the Chacham had in mind. So let's treat it like more than one Yisrael. It's more than one Yisrael, then it's Aser. Amar Luhus, Abai told me right. Practically speaking, you have many people living here. But in this configuration, in this arrangement that I've suggested to you, to have everybody mevatel, there's just one, this is something which is not commonly found. This concept that all the membership mevatel there is just and give it away to one person, that also is something which is uncommon. We have a rule of thumb. Chacham don't enact gzeiros in a situation where, which is leishchich. It's uncommon, a rare scenario. Chacham didn't bother applying their gzeiros and takana in that case. So you're right. You have many people living here who are perfectly comfortable and feel secure with the goy. But this arrangement to have them all be mevatel to one person is something which is uncommon. It's something rare. It's a like Muslim shchicha. Therefore, Chacham will not geyser in this case, and you can proceed as I have advised you to be mevatel and have this one sole balabayis, sole owner, live with a guy because a yachet together with a guy is okay. So this was Abayi's advice, and Azal Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua. So he went along Amra Lishmaita Kamei Rav. He presented the story and the advice that they got from Abayi, this halacha, he presented it to Rav. And Rav disagreed. He said, Amrale, if you follow through with this option, it's going to create complications. Im kein betalta teres erev meisi mavi. You will be mevatel the concept of erev from this mavi. Meaning, people will see, well, there's carrying taking place in this mavi. Where's the erev? They're going to assume that you can carry without an erev. They won't realize that there was this whole bittul arrangement that took place, which eliminated the need for the erev. They'll see carrying without an erev. Says Mara, okay, the Maravi, let them make an erev, even though it's not necessary. There's no need because once they own a vatal to this person, it's really only one balavayis, and they're just considered to be erechim, and there's no need for an erev. But let's just make an erev, a fictitious erev, for a public appearance. This way, if anybody sees carrying taking place, they'll say, well, it's because of that box of matzahs. Says, well, you can't do that. Because that also will create confusion and pitfall because people will think, look, there's a box of matzahs. There's Erev. Erev? With a guy? Oh, that's going to create a problem. People will think that you can make an Erev with a guy. They won't realize. They won't know the whole background of the story. Says, well, we'll get around that. The machrezinon. They'll make an announcement. They'll say, Rabbeisai, we're placing this box of matzahs just for appearance sake. But in reality, it's not really a valid Erev because an Erev wasn't necessary to begin with. So let's establish Erev, but announce that it's really not a valid Erev. Achraz to ledardaki? Will the announcement be effective for the youngsters, meaning for the future generations? Sooner or later, they'll stop making announcements and the future generation will get confused. They'll see Erev, they'll see many Yidden with a guy, they'll conclude that an Erev is effective in a case where there are many Yisrael living with a guy, which is erroneous. So, either option is no good. And therefore, Rava says, this is not the way to go. Elam Rava, rather do as follows. Leizel Chad Minayu, one of the members of this neighborhood, Likra of Lei, should go ahead and get close, Likra of Lei, should befriend the guy. V'lishol minei duchta, and loan from the guy a small space, part of his property, v'leinech bei midi, and place something of his own belongings in that spot. So now the Yisrael has gained a foothold in the chutz of the guy. He's a user of the property of the guy. And what is the halacha there? The havalik is chira likitoi. Now he's considered like Schira means his laborer. Ulukita means his seasonal worker who lived by the goy. And what happens by a socher and a loket? So a loket is if the property owner, the balabas, is a goy, but he has a Jewish worker who lives there. V'amar v'idam ha-shmol, afilu schiroi v'afilu lukitoi, noisen iruva v'day. So although a nachri cannot participate in an eruv, but if he has a Yisrael worker living by him, then we consider that worker as though he's a as though he's an owner. Since he has a foothold, he has a partial residency in that property, it's a kula, a leniency that we apply for Erevin. We consider the Yisrael as though he's the owner. And what happens by Yisrael? He simply adds, he contributes to the Erev. And that's okay. Let's take a look at Rashi. Five lines from the top. It says, Rashi, likrib l'gabe. So Rava tells him, look, one of you guys should go and befriend the guy. Yishtadl ha'anachri, atshe oyavoy, befriend him, v'yash lo ha'anachri mokim chatzeri. And the guy will allow him to loan part of the area to put some stuff there. Now, what happens when he puts his things there? The kivan the hashta dai Yisrael b'chatzar nachri. Once Yisrael has assumed partial ownership there, he has a foothold in the chatzar nachri, he has usage rights. Havaleha Yisrael kischir l'kitishal nachri. We consider this Yisrael as a sachir, as a loket, as a worker of the guy. And what is the halacha there? V'amar v'yuda afilu schir l'kita shal nachri. Im Yisraelu, if the worker is Yisrael, noisein eruvoi im b'nei mavi v'dayi. He can contribute to the eruv of the b'nei mavi, and that's okay. What is socher and lachit? Says Rashi, socher is l'avoides kol hashana. He's a all-year-round laborer. Lachit is l'mois ha-katsi v'asif. It's a seasonal worker during the crop picking season. Okay, so this is Rava's response. I have a better option. Don't go bittel and make a fictitious Erev. It creates confusion and problems. Do something legitimate. Go ahead and befriend the guy. Use his property. And the one who uses his property is considered halachically as though he's the owner of that property. Now we just ignore the guy altogether. Let that fellow, that Yisrael, just contribute to the Erev. In this case, it's the Shittim of voice. And everything's fine. Continues the Gemara on this topic of Socher v'Loket. So we say that the Socher and the Loket, who are living by the Goy, are considered like owners of the Goy's property, and therefore they can contribute to an Erev. Only that by Rav Yosef. Hoy sham chamisha schiroi v'chamisha l'kitoi ma'u. What if you have five of these laborers living by the Goy? So, if we consider the Socher like an owner, what happens when you have five Yisraelim, five owners? Each one has to be treated independently. Each one has to contribute independently to the Erev. So what happens if you have five Schirim living by the Goy? Do we have five owners here, five Yisraelim, and each one of them has to contribute bread to the Erev? Or shall we say, ultimately, it's really one property that belongs to the Goy. It's a kula, leniency that we apply here. We say, well, the sacher can represent the guy. It's as though he is the owner. But it's not really his property. So it's only a leniency that we apply. We only apply it when it's going to benefit us, l'kula. But if we have five schirim, we won't necessarily say we have five owners here and each one has to contribute to the Erev. So this is Abaye's question of Rav Yosef, his Rebbe. If we have five of them, what is Allah? Amalei, he says, Im amru schiro vilkitei lahakel. If we apply this concept lekula, we consider the Yisrael as, oh, he's the owner. That's only lahakel. Yoimru schiro vilkitei lahachmer. Should we apply it even lechumer? No, we won't do that. And therefore, only one of them has to contribute to the Erev, not all of them. Let's take a look at Rashi here, right off to the right. Hayusham bebeis hanachri. So there were five of these fellows living in the house of the guy. They were living throughout the house. Each one had his own room, so it was a separate living quarters. If it would really have been their property, if they would really be owners, Hayitzrichim lasses kulam be'erev. Certainly, they will have to contribute to the erev. Each one independently is his own owner. K'desh nam masnisin umoydim bezman shemaktsasan shruim mechadorim aliyos. So Rashi brings a Mishnah later that each person has to give his own erev. The question is v'hashta. The Rishusa, the Nachri. The thing is that over here really is the guy's property. Ma'u lasas kolom be'erev. Are they all required to contribute to the erev? Im shachar echav lo yinasan. Oysa abnei mavi. So if one of them neglects, is he going to make Issa prohibit the other fellows of the mavi? Mi amrin, should we say ki eichad ishavin ilahi l'sachar kimbalim lahakel? Oh, at the erev mavi zeh. Just as we considered, Yisach and the Lakut as owners, in order to allow them to contribute to the Erev of the Mavui, we can ignore the guy, which consider them to be the owners. If that's the case, Havunam a Balum Lachmir. We should also consider them like a Balum when it comes to Chumrah. Each one of them is a Balum, and they all have to contribute. Or do well, perhaps, the Kulash Avin Rabban Kibalum. Chacham only considered them like an owner when it comes to Kula. We say, well, we can ignore the guy, you're like the owner. Aval l'chumra loy. But now when it results in chumra. D'chol be'erev in l'hokal. This is a recurring theme. Whenever it comes to applying halachas of erev, we always do it l'kula. V'hani dira v'aday lav didhui. Rashi brings a punchline here. The bottom line is, this dira is not really theirs. They're not really owners, just laborers and workers. So, essentially, it's not their deer. The fact that we consider them to be the owners, that was only to make kula. So we can ignore the good. They can represent him and his property. But perhaps, if it results in a chumra, such as in this case, we don't necessarily have to adopt that approach. It's not really your property. And therefore, when there are five fellows there, they don't all have to contribute to the erev. It's enough that one of them does it and takes care of the entire property. So Rav Yosef responded, yes, indeed, we can adopt the kula approach and there's no need for all of them to contribute. Continues the Gemara. Kufa, so we just learned, Amar Vida Mar Shmuel, Afilu Schirai, Afilu Lekitai, even these workers, these Jewish workers who are living in the guy's home, or the guy's chatzar, Noisni Ruvidayai, he can go ahead and contribute to his Erev, and that's okay. We consider the Jewish worker to be the Baal Bais, as though he's the owner, and can be mishtatev with the Erev. Amar Rav Nachman, Kama Ma'alya Hashmaita. How wonderful. How great is this halacha. He approved of it. Continues the Gemara. Another halacha. Amar Vidamar Shmuel. So it's the same on the Amar, Rav Yudin, the name of Shmuel, but an unrelated topic. The Gemara ties it in here because of Rav Nachman's response there as well. So what's the second halacha? Shasa revius yain al yer. If a person drinks even just a revius of wine, it clouds his mind, it hampers his intellectual ability, takes away his clarity, and he should not rule on halachic matters of issa v'heter. Om Rav Nachman, loyma al yoshmaita. Actually, this halacha is not a wondrous halacha. I don't really approve of it because it's negated from my own personal experience. The ha'ana, because by me, kol kama delay shesina, Ravi Asa the chamra. Before I drink a revius of wine, loy tzila datoy, my mind lacks proper clarity. So the wine actually enhances my intellectual abilities. So you're not meant to say that if a person drank a revius of wine, he should not rule on matters of halacha. So when it came to the first halacha, Rav Nachman was complimentary. When it came to the second one, he was anything but complimentary. Omar le Rav. So Rav responded to Rav Nachman. My taima, Omar mar hochi, why did you express yourself in this manner? Complimenting one halacha and being uncomplimentary towards the other. What is that meant to do so with matters of Torah? Ha Omar Rav Acha bar Chanina. Rav Acha bar Chanina said as follows. My dechsev. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Pasuk in Mishlei, v'roi yezoynais ya'abed hoin. And we learn as follows: Kol oimer shmo zu noa, v'zu ein noa. So zoynais here is a combined word. Zu noa. He approaches one halacha. He says, "This is a pleasant halacha. is a correct halacha. And the other one is anything but. If a person approaches Torah in this manner, he loses the true value. Ma'abed hoina shatara. He loses the hoin, Rashi says, the kvoida shatara, the magnitude of Torah. He says, you know, this is a pleasant halacha. I'm going to learn, I'm going to pursue it, but not the other one. He's approaching Torah with an air of superficiality. He's looking at the portion of Torah which is rarely understood, neglecting that Torah is really deep beyond. What is that meant to substitute content for packaging, for eloquence and articulation? It's meant to keep in mind that Torah is deep, deep beyond. And don't approach Torah just looking at the surface. Well, this sounds like a pleasant halacha. This doesn't. Therefore, he says to Rav Nachman, not meant to do it this manner. I'm not meant to title Torah and say, well, this is Ma'al Yoshmaita, this is not. Amar Lei Hadribi. So Rav Nachman accepted. He says, you're right. I'm not going to do this any longer. Amar Rabba Bar Afuna, getting back to the person who drank wine, Shasoi Al Yispal. If a person drank a ravis of wine, he should not proceed to daven because he lacks the proper clarity. But if he did so, tefillah said tefillah, that's a valid tefillah, but the evidence works. Shikar, however, is a higher degree, an actual shikar, drunk person, al yispalel, he shouldn't daven. V'mispalel, tefillah said te'eva. In this case, his tefillah is a te'eva. Domination, it's unwanted, it's invalid. He says he has to daven over. So we have the shasui, we have the shikar. How do we describe what exactly is a shasui, what is a shikar? What exactly is the proper translation of the shasui and the shikar? Says the Gemara, we're going to learn from the following story. Kiha, Rab Abba Bar Shumni. So from the following story of Rab Abba Bar Shumni and Rav Menashe Bar Yom Yamidifti, have a komifti ma'adadi. They were taking leave of each other. Amabra the Nahar Yufti. By the ferry of the Yufti River. Still leaving, and as parting words, they said as follows. Amru, they said, Kol chad minan. You know, every one of us, lema milsad leshmi l'chavri, should say something to the other, something that the other person had never heard. A new halacha, a new lesson. Why? Why is that important? Da amar mari, barafun, leifater adam echaveri. When a person takes leave of his friend, he should make sure to do so with words of Torah, of Halacha, because through this, he'll remember him. Why? The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah Maseches Avos explains that the more spiritual a friendship is, so whether an ordinary friendship or a marriage between husband and wife, the connection, the friendship, the association is more ruchni, and less physical, the more genuine and lasting it is. It transcends time and place. So when they leave on this note, a note of Torah, a note of Ruchnius, this embodies the spirituality of their friendship, of their relationship, and it lasts beyond. Even after they part and go on separate ways, it will ensure to maintain that connection. So after this introduction, Pasach Chad V'Amar. So one of them began as follows. In a matter of halacha, Heichidami Shasui, Veichidami Shikar. We know that there's halacha about a shasui, halacha about a shikar. What exactly is a shasui or a shikar? So he explains as follows. Shasui means he drank wine, but he still has the proper clarity. Kol Sheyachol Adam Fnei HaMelech. He has the ability to speak, to articulate himself in front of a king. Therefore, we said that his tefillah is valid. Shikar is a person who drank even more than he's in a higher state of drunkenness, and he doesn't have that ability. He can articulate himself clearly in front of a king. He doesn't have the ability to present himself properly in front of a melech, and therefore, his tefillah is invalid. So this is a dvar halacha that one of them said. Now the other one responded, Pasach idach v'amar. The other one began and said, Hamachzik b'nichse hager. This is not actually a halacha per se, but it's a ma'amar chazal, piece of good advice. A person who is machzik, who acquires possession of the nichsi haged, the possessions of a convert who died without any yershim, lachiz, whoever takes hold of his possessions, his machzik, his nechasim, he acquires them. This fellow got a hold of this ger's possession without much toil or effort. Now, this arouses jealousy, ayin hara, as Rashi will explain for us, and therefore, a person is meant to do something to make sure that he ensures these nechasim, make sure that he holds on to them, and he doesn't lose them. What should he do? Mayasev iskam biyodeh. What should he do to maintain hold of these possessions? Spiritualize them. Yikach ben sefer Torah. He should take a portion of the money and buy with it a sefer Torah. And this will ensure that the possessions remain by him. Let's take a look at Rashi. Six lines from the bottom. Hamachzik b'nichzager. Explains Rashi. This is a midi de tmiyahu. It's something unusual, something that people look at with amazement, something with wonder. Well, what's this person getting a hold of all these possessions? If a tavo b'inshu, people wonder, v'ishu boi loy b'le yikir. He attained it without much effort and work. L'fich e'im eskaimen. They won't really last by him. Im loy al yidei mitzvah. Unless he applies mitzvah to it. He spiritualizes it, in which case, it's beyond the reach of ayin hara. And it won't be affected by people's attitude. So what is he meant to do? Yikach ben sefer Torah, b'miktsasam. Take part of the money, buy a sefer Torah. In the merit of this, he will maintain possession of the other nechasim. So it's a good insurance policy. Spiritualize your assets, and this will ensure that he holds on to them. Even in the case of a husband who acquires these possessions through marriage, that's also something where he didn't invest much effort, energy. And people begin wondering, ayin hara, look, why is he deserving of all those properties? And that ayin hara could affect it adversely, and therefore, he's meant to elevate it, spiritualize it, to provide an insurance policy for his assets. Rav Amar, afilu avad iska v'ravach. Even if a person did a successful business deal, he also should approach it in this manner. Her papa Amar, afilu matzu metziah, even if he found a metziah. Mashal explains what the afilu is, what the staggering here, even this, even that, explains the sequence of the halachas here, of the various versions. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, afilu kasabu tefil. This applies not only to a person who uses it for sefer Torah, which is a large expenditure, even using part of the money for tefillin also provides an insurance policy. Vamar Rav Chanan v'yitema Rav Chanina. Mikra, where do we find this in the pasuk, this concept that spiritualizing assets brings success? Look, Hashem, if you're going to give them into our hands, then we're going to make it chirim, we're going to take the properties and make them into hegdish. And it was successful, so we see that promising things for tzedakah, spiritualizing things, bring hatzlach. Okay, getting back to the halacha of the shasui, person who drank a revius of wine, he's not meant to daven. Up until what point should we consider the effect of that wine to be present? Omar Rami Barab. Derech mil, if he travels just a mil, or v'shena kolshu, just a bit of sleep, a short nap, v'figin esayayin, they alleviate the effect, the clouding effect of the wine, and he can proceed in dab. Omar v'nachman, Omar Rab Barabu, lo yishonu. This formula of a derech mil or a small nap, that's only elish shasa kedei revius. If he drank butter revius, aval shasa yoshim revius, but if he drank more, then it actually has the opposite effect. Kol shkein certainly shederech terdasai, due to the exhaustion of the trip, it's going to actually exasperate the effect of the wine. Vishina meshakart, and the sleep will actually intensify his drunkenness. So just a bit sleep and a bit of a trip won't remove the effect of the wine. Actually, it has the opposite effect. Continues the Gemara. V'derech mil m'figes hayayin? Is that so that a mil of travel will make the effect of the wine dissipate? V'atani v'alek t'na b'raitzo. And all at the end, we're going to have a reference to this halacha. I'm going to have a kasha on this formula. The b'raitzo begins like this. Masa b'ram gamlil. So there's a story, Ram Gamliel was riding on a donkey, Vayamahalach me'akal k'siv, traveling from Akar to k'siv. Vayu Rabbi Loi malach achrav. His Talmud, Rabbi Loi, behind him. Matzo gluska m'derach. So Rav Gamliel noticed these breads on the road. Amar Loi, Eloi. So he turned to his Talmud, he said, Toil gluska m'derach. Pick up the breads from the road. We're not meant to leave it lying on the road. Matzo nachri echad. So Rav Gamliel encountered this guy, Amar Loi, Mav Goy, that was his name. Toil gluskna loy, may loy. Take these breads from me loy. Okay. Nitpa loy Rabbi Loi. So after this happened, Rabbi Loi went over to this guy fellow. Amar Loi, mechanata, where do you come from? Amar Loi, my yore shol burgonen. From these shack towns. From these huts. Uma Shimcha, what's your name? Mavgoy Shmeni. My name is Mavgoni. So Mavgoy was actually the way Rabbi Gamaliel addressed him. So Rabbi Loi was perplexed. He said, Klum hikircha Rabbi Gamaliel ma'il? Tell me something. Did Rabbi Gamaliel know you beforehand? Am Loi lav? No. Never met him. Ba'isa Shalaman. At that point we learned, Shekivin Rabbi Gamaliel Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Gamaliel was mechaven to this guy's name with Ruach HaKodesh. He addressed him with his proper name. You know, it could be he wasn't trying to display his ability to be Master Ruach HaKodesh. It was just something natural. He looked at him. He knew his name. You know, sometimes the Baal Ruach HaKodesh might not even realize that he's having Ruach HaKodesh. And I heard from a nephew of a attendant of a big tzaddik, a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, the Ribnitzer Rebbe who lived in Muncie. So he had a bachur used to come by. His name was Moshe. So one time the tzaddik was sitting in his room and he's looking at this wall in front of him, a blank wall with no windows. And he begins pointing, as Moshele is coming, right through the wall. And sure enough, a minute later, Moshele shows up at the door. You know, the Chavos Avava says that a person can rise to such spiritual heights that he can see without eyes, he can hear without ears. His abilities, his shama abilities, transcend time and place. So he's looking at a wall and he sees Moshele. He doesn't even realize that's Ruach HaKodesh. So Rav Gamliel took a look at this guy. He says, Mav Goy, take this bread. So that's the first thing. Kivin Rav Gamliel Ruach HaKodesh. Now, in addition to that, we have several more halachis which were derived from this incident. Ushloisha Dvarim Lamadnu Beis HaShem. We learned three halachis. Lamadnu Shem Avirin Al-Eichlan. And to pass by, to leave food on lying on the floor. That's why he instructed Eloy to pick it up. That's number one. For Lamadnu, we also learned, the fact is he didn't want to consume the bread. He assumed that it belonged to a guy, that it was pas akum, that we can't eat. Why? Because although the Isser of pas of a guy is only Drabbanim, he followed the majority. For Lamadnu, Shaholchen achar roiv oivri drachim. The majority of wayfarers are goyim. So, that provides indication that this thing is better of a good. Therefore, he couldn't eat it. That's number two. V'lamadnu, in addition to that, we also learned, this was right after Pesach, shechameitah shel nochar echa Pesach mutar b'ano. That, unlike the chametz of a Yisrael that was present on Pesach, where it's asur b'ano even after Pesach, the chametz of a guy is mutar b'ano. Therefore, he had hana from this bread. Where was the hana? So Ashi explains that he derived some personal benefit. It's called toivas hana. When you give a present to somebody, the person has appreciation towards you. So you have that hana. The fact that you derive that benefit because the person feels indebted to you, that is a hana to you. And the fact that Gamliel allowed himself this hana proves that the chametz of a goy after Pesach is mutar b'hana. Taisa actually asks the kasha. Taisa says, we know the Gemara of the Zohar says, one is not meant to give a matana to a guy for no reason. So how is he able to grant this bread to the guy, matana? So Taisa brings the Gemara there that's only if you have nothing in return. But if the guy is your neighbor, etc., so you gain favor in his eyes by giving him a present, that's called having something in return. It's like you're selling it to him. So he says, here also, since he was a travel companion, some sort of association here between them, and Rav Gamliel derived some sort of benefit. the fact that this person was indebted to him along the trip, that was considered to be a hanah from Gamliel, and it was allowed to give us the matana. Okay, so that's the three things that we learned. Number one, Eim Avirin al Eichlan. Number two, the bread is presumed to be Goyish bread. Number three, the chametz of a Goy, which was present on Pesach, is Mutar Banoah after Pesach. So that was the first phase of the story. Continues the Braisa, Kima Shigia L'Kziv. So once he arrived at his destination, Bo Echad L'Shal Nidre. So this fellow came along to ask Rav Gamliel to be matter to annul his vow. Omar Lazesh Imay. So Rav Gamliel turned to his companion, to Rabbi Loi, the Talmud. Klum Shasinu Revius Yain Italki. Did we drink a Revius of that Italian Italki wine? Omar Loi Haynes. He said, yeah, actually we did. So Rav Gamliel says, okay, if that's the case, I can't be matter nether right now. And we have to wait until the effect of the wine dissipates. Im kein, if that's the case, yitzhai l'achareinu, at sheyafeg yeinenu. Let this fellow walk behind us until the wine dissipates. V'tiyah l'achrein gimul milen. So he walked behind them 3 mil. At sheyigia l'suma shel tzur, until they arrive at this location. Kibin sheyigia l'suma de tzur, once they arrive at these, it was a steep mountain of tzur. So that was already after 3 mil of travel. At this point, Rav Gamliel assumed that the wine's effect is no longer there, and he was ready to be matir his net. Yorad Rav Gamliel lachamor, v'nesatef, v'yoshav, v'itil nidre. So he descended from the donkey, he wrapped himself, sat down, and was matir his net. And we learned many more things from the second portion of this braisa. V'har dvarim lomad ma'isusha. We learned many halachas. Number one, Lomanu Shervis Yaini Talki Meshaker. Revius said that wine has an effect on the person. It creates drunkenness. But Lomanu Shikal Yair, a fellow in this state, is not allowed to rule on halachic matters. That's why he had to wait until the effect dissipated. But Lomanu Shederech Mefigas Hayayin. And we learned that travel alleviates the effect of the wine. But Lomanu Shein Mefir Nadarim. What is the proper way to make a varus Nadarim? Lay rachav, not riding, lay mahalach, or walking, lay oimid, or standing, ele yoshev, just as Rav Gamliel insisted on taking a seat prior to attending to the nether. Okay, so that was the end of the story. What pertains to us is, katani miyas, at any rate, the Braisa tells us, how far did he need to walk for the effect of the wine to be no longer? Shloisha milin, 3 mil, not merely 1 mil, as the Gemara told us earlier. What type of wine are we speaking here? We're speaking about Yain Italki, which is high quality wine, which has a much stronger effect on the person. And therefore, 1 mil of travel wasn't sufficient. He needs to travel 3 mil for the wine to dissipate. Okay, but let's remember, the Gemara told us earlier that this concept of a mil of travel can only be applied to a revius of wine. But if a person drinks more, then the travel will actually bring about exhaustion, and as a result of that, it's going to exasperate the effect of the wine. V'amar b'nachem amar rabba ravo lo yishanu. This concept of a mil removing the effect is only el shashasa revius, strictly by revius, a small measure. Aval shashasa yoyis me revius. But if it's more than that, kol shkein derech ter dasay v'shinim eshad kartay. If you drank more than that, the trip will actually exasperate things. The short nap will exasperate things. So here that he drank, although a revius, but it was Yain Italki, high quality wine. That's like drinking more than a revius of standard wine. So how can we say that the trip here alleviated it? So it had the opposite effect. It says in Rachav Shani, the person was riding on a donkey, it's different because it doesn't have that exhausted effect on the person. And therefore, we can assume that the effect has been alleviated once he's traveled a certain amount. Says the Gemara, Hash Dasas Lachi. Now that you've come to this point, this clarity, that there's a difference between travel by foot and riding on a donkey, which is less exhausting. If so, we're going to answer that first kasha. Remember, the first kasha was, why 3 mil if 1 mil is sufficient? L'rami bar Abba nami l'kash. It's not going to be a kasha. And Rami bar Abba told us that one mil is sufficient. Why did he require three? Rochem shani. Because when a person is riding, the effect is lessened. It's less of a travel experience, and therefore, in this case, you need to have 3 mil, which is equivalent to a mil of traveling by foot. Okay, so in summary, we learned that if a person drank wine, whether it was a revius or more, he's not meant to rule on matters of halacha, of esav heter, nor is he meant to daven. What if he davened anyways? So it depends. If he was yochel, l'daber l'fnei melech, he had the ability, enough clarity, to present himself properly before a king, then his tefillah is a tefillah, but otherwise it is not. How does one alleviate the effect of wine? A derech mil, traveling, even a mil is enough, but if he's actually riding, then it needs to be longer than a mil, or shein kolshu, a short nap. That's if it was only a revius that he drank. If he drank more, or he drank revius of high quality wine, such as in the story with Rami Gamliel, then he needs to ride at a distance of 3 mil in order to properly alleviate the effect of that wine. Continues the Gemara. So Rami Gamliel wanted to address the nether. He came off the donkey. He sat down. Why was that necessary? Why does one need to actually sit down to create this whole formal atmosphere? Is that really necessary? V'amar Rav Nachman, mafirin nedarim, bein mahalach, bein oimid bein rochav. A person can be matir neder, whether traveling, standing, or mahalach means walking, oimid standing, rochav is riding. So we don't need to have that formal arrangement. Why was it necessary in this case? Says the Tanoi, it's actually dependent on a machalik's tanoim. How intense of an experience is it going to be? How much does a person have to apply himself, concentrate on the matters at hand? It depends what's involved. The Ikalaman the Omar Poisum Macharata. There's one sheet that says that the Chacham needs to really engage himself in the experience because he has to be Poiseach Macharata. He has to initiate and open up with words of trying to generate regret on the part of the petitioner. Trying to highlight to him, look at the effects of what you did, and this will bring him to be mischaret, to regret having ever made that nether, and automatically, by itself, becomes obsolete. It's not what he had in mind. So that's pshat poisu mecharata. Now that requires focus and concentration. Therefore, the chacham needs to sit down to do it biyishuv hadas. This apparently was a shita of Rami Gamliel, but there's another shita that doesn't require that. V'ikil mandama ein poisu mecharata. That's not necessary. You don't need to generate charata. The chacham has the power on his own to annul the nether. In which case, you don't need to have proper concentration, and he can do it in any position that he finds himself. The Omar Rabba Bar Bachana Bar Yochanan. Then indeed we find that Rami Gamliel, he held the view that we need to be peseach b'charata, and therefore he needed to sit down to address the nether. As Rabba Bar Bachana said in the name of Yochanan, my pasach le Rami Gamliel o gavra. How did Rami Gamliel open up? How did he engage his fellow? He began the conversation by quoting a pasuk in Mishlei to negate this whole practice of making a dharma, to bring him to regret what he did. Yesh boite kemad kuroiz cheref ulushoyin chacham emarpi. We learn like this. Kol ha-boite, boite means one who expresses himself. He makes a nether, roi ledoikru b'cheref. He's deserving to be poked with a sword. To get Misa, because Nedarim can bring about pitfalls. If he's not Mekayim the Nedar, but he's not meant to utter Nedarim. That's the first portion of the Pasuk. Ela Shaloshan Chacham Marpe. The Pasuk concludes, Veloshan Chacham, the words of the Chacham, Marpe, they bring remedy, because the Chacham can undo the Nedar and remedy the situation. So this is how Rami Gamliel engaged his fellow, bringing him to Charata, showing the fallacy of what he did and generating regret. And indeed, that's why he needed to specifically sit down to apply himself properly to the procedure. Amar, we just learned, one of the things we learned from Gamliel's story was that you're not meant to leave food lying. You're meant to pick it up and Take care of it respectfully. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Leishanu. This is only said Ela B'deris HaRishonim in the early generations. Shein B'nais Yisrael Prutzois Big Shofim. Had daughters of Yisrael not into doing Kishuv. And therefore, if one finds some bread in a Jewish area, there's no concern that it is laced with sorcery that can bring about, that can harm a person. Avo B'deris HaRishonim. However, in the later generations, and unfortunately, Shein B'nais Yisrael Prutzois Big Shofim, they into Kishofim. Mavir, we just leave the food as is. We don't risk getting entangled in the sorcery that may be associated and embedded in that bread. Says the Gemara Tana, we learned in the Brisa, Shleimen Mavir. Indeed, if they're complete whole loaves, we just leave it alone because perhaps it can contain kishuf, a kishuf element in it. This was done specifically on whole loaves. Psisin, but if they're just pieces, I'm not meant to leave them because there's no concern about kshafim being involved there. Amli Ravasa Ravashi. Now, psisin le amdam? They don't make kishuf on slices, on pieces? Foksiv, the pasuk indicates otherwise. The pasuk says, Vatechalol noisi el ami bishali soirim uvisayse lechem. So the pasuk is describing the kishuf that he did with all these types of foods and Besayse lechem, besayse lechem a piece of bread. So apparently kishuf can be applied there as well. Says the Gemara, no. It can only be applied to whole loaves. The shakli be'agrayu, these small pieces of bread describing the pasuk, that's not what they used for the kishuf. Rather, it was meant as payment given to these women for their kishuf services. But in reality, only whole loaves are suitable candidates for kshafim, just as the Brisa taught us. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with the Mavi, where several Yisraelim lived, together with this fellow, this guy Lachman Baristak, or Haman Baristak, who refused to do schiras with them. So when they approached Abai for advice, he told them, look, go be mevatel all your usage rights to one Yisrael. Now you have one property owner living with the guy, that's okay. And he concluded that this is a milsa l'shchicha, an uncommon scenario, in which case there's no gzeret rabbanon, they can carry even without doing schiras with the guy. Rabbi disagreed with this approach. He says it can bring about confusion. Rather, he suggested one of the Israelim should befriend the guy, loan some of his property, gain a foothold in his chatzar, be regarded like a sacher belaket, like a laborer who resides with the guy, who the chacham considered as though he's the property owner, in which case he can contribute to the eruv. We had the lesson that Rabbi taught us, that one is not meant to say, Shmozu na, Shmozu ena na. It's not meant to label and compliment halachas of Torah, rather approach the entire Torah uniformly, and this way he'll be zeichat the Torah properly. We had the incidents of these two chaverim taking leave of each other. We meant to do so mitoch dvar halacha to enhance the friendship, spiritualize it, and one of them began by saying, explain the difference between halachic difference between a shasui and a shikur. Why a person only drank a bit of wine, his tefillah works, the other one doesn't, because he has the ability to be medabel fnei melech. The other one's mental capacity is has been so inhibited that he doesn't have that ability to present himself clearly in front of a king, therefore his tefillah is invalid. So that was one halach. And the other one responded by saying, telling us a lesson about a case where a person was machzak b'nichse ager, he acquired possessions without much effort, that arouses jealousy and horror. How does one maintain it? What is the best insurance policy? Spiritualize it. Take a portion of that money and buy with it a sefer Torah. So proceeding with the halacha of a person who drank wine. So if he drank a revius or more than a revius, he's not meant to rule on matters of halacha. He's not meant to daven. But the if he davened, as we just mentioned, if he had the ability to be medabel fnei melech and his tefillah works, otherwise it doesn't. How does one alleviate the effect of wine? The Gemara tells us traveling a mil by foot, or if he's riding that he needs more than a mil, or even a short nap, alleviates the effect of a revius. If it's more than a revius, or it was a revius high quality wine, such as the Yain Hitalki, drunk by Rung Amliel, in that case you have to undertake a long trip, a trip of 3 mil riding on a donkey, which will alleviate the effect of the wine. We had a Brisa, with the whole story, with Rav Gamliel, and we learned many things. Number one, that he was Mechav Ruach HaKodesh, to the name of the guy. We learned that Ein Mavir Al Eichon. We're not meant to just pass by, leave the food on the floor. The Gemara concluded that in the latter generations, where Kishav was more prevalent even amongst the Yisraelim, so in this case, you have to be wary, and if it's a complete loaf, it's a Sholem, just leave it alone. From the fact that Rav Gamliel didn't consume the bread himself, rather he looked for a guy to give it to, we learned that we are Hilach Acharoiv. When it comes to the halacha of not eating the bread of a guy, which is Nisad the Rabbanan, even there we follow the Roiv, and since the majority of travelers are Goyim, one must refrain. Although this took place after Pesach, and we presume that this Chametz was around on Pesach, a Chametz of a guy is Mutter after Pesach, Mutter Bahano. So therefore he was able to give it to the Mavgoi fellow, although he derived some sort of personal hana by giving it to him. We learned that a revius of this Yaini Talki is Meshacher. We learned that a Shikar Al Yoyre should not rule on matters of Issa V'Heter. We learned that traveling alleviates the effect of wine. And we learned as well that when it comes to Havaras Nedarim, it can only be done in a sitting position, according to Shita of Rav Gamliel, because he holds Poischem B'charata. The Chacham can't just invalidate the Neder. He has to engage the fellow. He has to bring him to Charata, to regret what he did. That requires proper concentration, application, and that can only be done sitting down.